Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragmenti, going to tell you what's going on. This week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, it is the last week of the year, the last week of 2025, as I'm sitting here speaking to you, and we're going to tell you what's going on, because it's New Year's Eve. In fact, for if you're listening to this, it might be tomorrow, it might be today. Getting this out to you, I think, on a Tuesday here for most of you. But Nate Armbruster is our headliner on New Year's Eve. There's two shows. Let's give you the special New Year's Eve show times. Because if you're wanting to come out, you got to pick between the 7:30 p.m. show, and that'll get you out right around 9 o'clock. So you can head to wherever you want to head if you want to be home to ring in the new year. You get out of there at 9 o'clock and be home. Be nice. Or you come to our 10:30 show, where we do a champagne split at midnight. We play Auld Lang Syne. We count down for you. We'll talk about how the New Year's Eve show goes with Nate in our interview here. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy New Year's Eve at the Comedy Castle. And you will, too, if you've never been, or some people I know come every year. So please join us on New Year's Eve. It's going to be a great show with Nate Armbruster, Justin Pettick. Is your feature act, and Reledbetter starting it out strong as the MC. It's going to be a great week and weekend, because those same comics come back Friday, January 2nd, first weekend of 2026. 9:45 is the Late Show Friday on January 2nd, and then 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. on Saturday, January 3rd. Come on out. It's 2025, end of 25, start of 26. See some comedy. Always good. I hope you guys had a good Christmas. I had a nice Christmas. A lot of family stuff. Almost too much, but that is behind me now. And I'm feeling good, getting a little rest here, doing a podcast. Nate's a guy that's been on the show a million times. I wish I could tell you how many. Should I actually see how many? Nah, let's not bother. The time it'll take me to pull that up, you would have turned this podcast off. But Nate talked to us a little bit about, you know, a lot of it was about the New Year's Eve show. What it's like to do comedy at New Year's Eve, what that's like. We also talk about his wedding plans, or his wedding that he had. We both had weddings. We compare notes on weddings. That's fun, listening to the husbands bitch about the wedding when it's over. We also get into, he loves that Jardiance commercial. I don't know how we got into that, but a talk about using weight loss drugs, what we think of it. I think it might be eye-opening. I think it might be a refreshing take on that. I don't know. But anyway, it's a fun talk. I love talking to Nate. I feel like we were just getting our groove going when we hit that 30-minute mark, and I said, nah, let's save it. Let's save it for the weekend. We actually hung up and talked for another half hour. Yeah, but Nate Armbruster, that is the only show this week, is Nate. And we'll be back next week. We've got the 26 for 26 on Wednesday of next week. That'll be a fun show. Whole bunch of comics. All these are listed up at comedycastle.com if you want to know that. And just a quick update on comedy classes that we got starting out. I know we're getting real close to selling out the advanced comedy class. It starts on January 10th. That's a Saturday at 12:30. That's my class for people who have done the beginner class at the club or people who've done a little bit of comedy. Take the advanced comedy class with me. We'll teach you everything you need to know to be a professional comedian. It's real in-depth. It's real fun. If you love comedy, you want to nerd out about comedy, my class is the one for you. The most comprehensive comedy class you could possibly take about professional comedy. And, of course, if you're a beginner, take the beginner class with Bill Bouchard. That's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Bill does a great class. He's got new sessions starting up in January. Tam White also has improv class that's starting up. I know she's getting tight to her attendance. It's getting filling up. So thanks to all those who have signed up. Again, call the club if you want to know anything about our comedy classes or to sign up. 248-542-9900. Take the advanced comedy class with me. I think you'll dig it. I'm going to retool it. For 26. It's a new and improved advanced comedy class. We'll tell you more about that coming up. But let's get into this interview. I've kind of told you what we talk about, and it's real fun. I enjoy talking to Nate a lot. I'm going to enjoy seeing him this weekend. Should be great shows. Here's Nate Armbruster, everybody. All right. right, ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, the final interviewee of 2025, our New Year's Eve headliner, and the first headliner of 2026. You get all of these titles, Nate Armbruster. Isn't that great?
This is the dream come true.
All the titles, the last comic of 25, the first comic of 26. And a frequent guest on this show. We love having you. We love having you at the club. So it's good to have you back, dude.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be back. I'm very excited for the shows this week and weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, let's get into New Year's Eve because that's the first one. It's only a day or two away here, depending on when you're listening to this. Have you done New Year's Eve at the Comedy Castle?
Never at the Comedy Castle. No. I feel like New Year's Eve, and I'm sure you know this, it can be one of two things for a comedian. Usually it's a great night to work because it's like an off night. Sometimes it falls on a Monday and it gives you something to do, which I, because New Year's Eve as a holiday isn't my favorite thing. Like I don't go out. If I wasn't doing a show, I'd probably be home. You know what I mean? So to go to Ridley's, I'm very excited because I feel like something tells me they do it right over there.
Well, we try. I mean, people get, if you come to the late show, this is for the audience, and just in that if you come to that 10:30 show, it ends just before midnight, and we give everybody a chance to use the restroom, whatever they want to do, and then everyone comes back in the room. Comics go back on stage. We count down to midnight, and everyone parties. There's a champagne split that comes with your late show tickets. So, yeah, we make it pretty fun.
Yeah, that's exciting. And it's fun to hear that the show, like when you say you guys end the show a bit before midnight,
just a bit before, yeah.
All right, that's good, because I've done shows where you go until midnight, and those last 15 minutes for a comedian, like, everybody gets restless.
Yes.
And everyone's like, why is this guy talking about Uber when the New Year's countdown is starting?
Well, the thing is, we always tell the M, this is really an MC thing, but on New Year's Eve, as we say, listen, this is how it's going to work. We're going to come back. We're going to count you. We're going to end the show before midnight. Then we're going to count down. You're not going to miss it. You know, people will be on their phones going, is it midnight yet? And it's like, no. You don't worry about it. We got you.
Right.
Yeah. So you got, I'm looking at the website here. Reed Ledbetter is your MC. I don't know if you know Reed.
He's great.
Reed does a great job. And Justin Pettick, another great feature.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Nice people. Be ringing in with nice people. Yeah. It's going to be a great time. So, yeah, if you're coming to the show, you don't have to worry. We count down for you. We play Auld Lang Syne. We do all that stuff, all the traditional stuff. It's quite a party. I always take a video at midnight. Yeah. And kind of get a recording of everybody, you know. It's fun.
I love Ridley's. I started there, you know, some 15 or so years ago. And I've never been there on New Year's Eve. Does it get pretty classy? Do they class it up? People dress up when they go there?
People will dress up a little. It depends on the person, but certainly people will get dressed up. You know, ladies like to be dressed up on New Year's Eve. They like to plan that stuff out. So I would, if you're wondering as a comedian, you know.
maybe I should join the classy.
I mean, it's not dress up a bit. It's not a West Branch one nighter on a Friday night. You know what I mean? You're just a little better than that. A little better. I always say, I tell my comedy students this, January 10th, there's another plug for advanced comedy class. dress better than the audience. That's what I tell comedians. Dress better than the audience. It's pretty easy. If you're at an open mic, everyone's dressed horribly. Just a bunch of people out and didn't nothing. Then you put a little bit of thought into your thing. And then as people get more dressed up, you dress a little bit better. That's all I think.
That's good to know. Maybe I don't know if I have enough time to rent a tux.
That'd be funny.
Maybe I should look into it.
Yeah, if they'll get you one, sure. Why not? I don't know. I've never seen a comic do that, but you know, you just dress. It's true of all comedy shows, I think. If you're an entertainer, show respect for the audience, dress a little better than they did, or at least to the level that they do.
There's such a balance to it as a comedian, because I'm like, I don't want to dress better than my material, you know what I mean? Like you think it's got to fit the vibe.
Yeah.
So I got to find that happy medium. Yeah.
Well, the vibe is a party. The vibe, New Year's Eve party, Comedy Castle. sophisticated people, people who want to have a good time, but, you know, don't want to throw up on a couch anymore. You know what I mean? That's the vibe.
That's why I love that you're doing two shows at Ridley's, because the early show, I feel like, is my crowd. You know, we're going to go out. We're going to go see the show. Mm-hmm. We'll be home by, 9:30. Yeah. And and then the late show is like, all right, we're going right up to midnight.
We're doing it. We're doing the thing all the way. Yeah. It's a great time. It really is fun. The staff usually has a pretty good time because it's, it's just festive. People tend to be in a good mood, even though you might think they're in a lousy mood, but they're actually in a pretty good mood. It's New Year's Eve. We're having
fun. Why I like the one thing I do like about New Year's is it's the last of the holidays of the season. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We kind of end it on a high note. And then January starts and we're back to normal. Yeah. You know, I'm like, I've seen enough family for the month. We're good.
Yeah.
I'll see you in March, you know. We'll take a little breather.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for the weekend shows too, because it's like the first weekend of January.
Yeah.
So anyone going out that weekend's
that's a fun, those can be fun too. Absolutely. Where you're just like, hey, we got nothing to do. It's the first of the year. Let's go see some comedy. But
right.
Yeah, those will be fun too. Because people might be a little less stressed in January.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. What else we got going on? You're still in the city of Chicago.
Oh yeah, living in Chicago. Moved here about 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's going great. Love it here.
Yeah.
It's a great comedy city. It's Detroit adjacent in a lot of ways. Kind of feels like home.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Not that
so
different,
nice,
but its own thing. Chicago,
yes,
its own place.
Great comedy scene too. So it's been a lot of fun.
Where do you go to do your comedy in Chicago? What's the spots?
Locally, I love all the clubs here. Zany's downtown is great. It's this little club, you know. It's been there forever, and it seats something like 100, just over 100 people maybe. So it's like small.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's packed, it's like, you feel like, you know, you're in a huge theater, you know? So that's a lot of fun. It feels old school in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And then, they have another location out, in Rosemont near the airport, basically suburbs, you know, and it's, that place is also cool. It's kind of set up more like a theater style comedy club, which is great. And then I love, of course, the Laugh Factory, and there's a few other spots.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really realize how big the city is, the metro area.
Yeah,
there's
so
many suburban clubs too.
Right.
So you can do a lot of shows here.
Nice.
It's great.
That's a little like Michigan. Michigan's kind of got that too.
Yeah. You Michigan, know. I always felt like, at least the Detroit area, not so much when I started.
No.
Not so much was happening in Detroit proper, like downtown.
Mm. Yeah.
But out in the suburbs, you go out a ways, there's so many spots. And now there's like two or three clubs in the city, you know? So it's, I feel like in Michigan, there's a lot happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a thing. I mean, there's certainly just a quick shout out, and I think this is fair. I don't know if you ever were partook in Detroit House of Comedy is having their last show this week. So shout out to Kyle Forsyth and everybody over there.
They're
rebranding.
Yep.
Well, basically, they were sold.
Heard.
Yeah, they were sold. So some changes in comedy for the new year. But shout out to those.
Well, as much as I love them, it's not anything close to Ridley's. Let's say it around the podcast.
We know that. But hey, I mean, anybody, you know, it affects how many comics can work. You know that, you know, right? It's just,
of course. And I think it's, you know, healthy for the scene to have more stages in a lot of ways,
absolutely.
At least for the comedians who got to get on stage and stuff.
Comics
and
can get better. The more you perform, the better you get.
That's
right.
How
it works. All right. Tell us about your what's going on personal life.
Got married since the last time I met Ridley's, for sure.
Yeah.
And so that's been a lot of fun. Life
Congrats,
is good.
Dude.
In
I
a
got
lot
married.
Of ways. My wife
got married this year too, dude.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Did you guys do a big wedding?
It was small, but it was big. It was big in every way except for the number of people at it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, like, I don't know. Here's what did you guys do? Did you guys do a big one or
Well, you know, planning a wedding is a fun process because I didn't have a lot of needed input. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'd be like, it sounds fine. Every time I'm like, that sounds good. Because the thing is, I trust my wife, you know, if you like it, it's going to be fantastic. Mm. Otherwise, why would I disagree on this? You know, but when you're paying for, you know, 150, 200 of your closest friends and family's dinners, it's really narrowing it down to who you want.
Yeah.
To feed is really a fun conversation, you know, because I feel like cost is what the biggest thing was for us. Absolutely. So it would be like, all right, we got to uninvite or not invite at least 20 of these people. And then you start really, you sit down and you start really talking about who you like the most.
Like, believe me, we are paying that. We are still, we know there's people that were burned that they didn't get invited to our wedding. And it's just kind of like, you got to cut it. I think we ended up with about 110 invites.
That's perfect.
Some people didn't show, which that's always annoying when you know other people wanted to come. And there's people that were invited that didn't come and didn't tell you they weren't coming. And that
sucks. That's the worst.
Yep. But we had a little bit of that. We had a couple of those. Super annoying. Or, you know, wives that decided not to come at the last minute. And it's like, you know, it's we paid for your wife to be here. Dude.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah. I always thought it was funny how, we're in our, you know, early mid 30s. So, all of our friends, we've been to a million weddings in the last 5 years. And whenever it got to the point where I'm like, we got two weddings this month and it's the same group of friends.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, hey, we just did this. we got to go. But I always think it's funny when people get offended they weren't invited to a wedding. Invited. I think those people are crazy. I've never been happier to not go to a wedding. I mean, even my closest friend could be like, hey, there's just not enough room. I'd be like, totally understand.
Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'll be all right.
Yeah. I've never been offended to not be invited.
What about the kids? Did you do kids? Because we didn't.
Not yet.
Yeah, we didn't. No, but I'm saying having kids at the wedding.
Oh.
Yeah, because we decided no kids. And then there were, you know, one of the nephews was the ring bearer, and another one was like, you know, less than a year old, so he had to be
there.
That's
a good way to do it.
And then I think people showed up, and there were kids there, and they were like, and you told me not to bring my kids, and we had kids. A little bit of that.
Yeah, we did no kids, except for our one niece and nephew, you know, like they were in the wedding. Yeah. So that was like a no-brainer for us. Mm-hmm. We're like, yeah, of course we'll have them, but everyone else leave the kids at home. That'd be great.
And then
that's the other thing.
Yeah.
And I'm turning into such a curmudgeon old man. It's so funny. I'm like, it's about cost to me. Yeah. So I'm like, these kids aren't going to eat their full meal. No one ever does.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing. When you do it, you're just glad it's over. I think more than anything, you're just like, okay. You know, like we gifted people wedding photos this year. That was a thing we had.
That's perfect.
Because it's been, you know, 9 months since the wedding, and we were like, let's get these out, let people have them, give them a little thank you for coming and being a part of it and giving a gift and everything. So the wedding photos went out.
I do jokes about my whole experience and getting married and all that. So people will be hearing about
there
it.
You
but
go.
It is funny. The thank you cards were the best part. Because my wife, she's so thorough and, you know, we kind of did it like this. She had hers done right away. You know, we kind of did like, hey, your family and friends, you write them out just to like divvy up the responsibility of it, you know? Well, I'm dragging my feet on it, you know, and I keep forgetting to do it. And then you got to sit down and I got to write out like 100 thank yous and, which I meant every
sure,
word.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But you know, it's still, you got to write out 100 thank you cards. It's still like a long process. Now, I mean, we pushed it. I'm dragging my feet. It got to the point where I'm like, I don't know if we should even send these, you know, I feel like people, cause now people are going to know, like people might not even have noticed that we didn't send them out. You know what I mean? And she's like, no, we have to send them out. So I finally fill them all out. We send them. And a friend of mine got it. And literally, he had just had his firstborn son. Okay. So he's like, and he and his wife were not pregnant at the wedding, which means they had conceived and birthed a child
in the time
before they even got my thank you card for the wedding.
That's wild.
It was it was a whole thing. So that alone, I'll never do it again. If my wife could leave me tomorrow, I'm never having another wedding.
Yeah, my thing was like, well, imagine a large table at a restaurant. 12, 14 people, that'll do. That was my thing. Just do this. Go to a restaurant, get the little back room. 12, 14 people, some, you know.
That's all you need. Do a courthouse.
Yeah, whatever. Courthouse. I mean, whatever. No. Had to have the hall. Had to have a DJ. Had to have a this.
You got
to
do it all.
Ah, so glad it's over.
See, but, you know, all that said, I always think the same thing. I feel the same way you do. But all that said, I'm so glad we did it because, you know, at the end, you're like, the whole leading up to it, I'm like, okay, I don't know what to expect. This is the first, hopefully only time I ever have to get married, you know, like it's the whole goal. Right. Yeah. And the nice thing about it is when you're there, everywhere you look is someone you're excited to see. So that's like the one thing I remember took away from it the most. I was like, oh, everywhere you turned, you were like, hey, how's it going? You know? So that was fun. But all that said, hopefully never have to do it again.
Exactly. That's the plan. We did it.
I'm sure people listening to this are like, this guy sounds hilarious.
Yeah. Well, what else are you talking about? What's in the act now? Let's hear some, at least a topic. Give us a little riff. Come on, Nate. What do you care about nowadays? What's the talk?
Well, I think New Year's this time of year, I think a lot about my, you think about your life resolutions, things like that. And I'm kind of over the resolution stuff. Yeah. I don't really do it because I never commit. I never do it. I just got to start being honest with myself. I think I'm just going to be like kind of fat forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think I just give up. I think I just, because it's to the point where I don't even get rid of clothes anymore because like I'll be every size at least another three times in my life. I think I'm
going through that right now, man. I'm telling you, I'm down 20 whatever, but it's tough. Yeah.
Like you're down 20 and then, next year I'll put on 30 and then like, it just goes back and forth. So like, I got like two containers under the bed right now, just full of different versions of me. You know, I have a thin bin under there and a tubby tub.
Yeah.
Just full of different versions. Like it actually makes me look stylish. You know, if I'm having a good year, down a few pounds, people be like, hey, did you get a new shirt? And I'm like, no, you just didn't know me in 2017. That was a good year for me.
Oh my God. Can I relate to that one, man? It's terrible.
Yeah.
We went to the movies yesterday and my jeans, as I was walking and we got there, I think the previews had just started. And as I got a shift through the row to get to my seat in the middle, my pants almost fell off my ass.
Oh, that's like a good feeling, but a horrible feeling all wrapped into one. Cause you're like, hey, I'm going to have to start wearing a belt.
Yeah.
And then you're also like, sorry, sir. Didn't mean to do that. Didn't mean to show you all that.
I had a frozen Coke in each hand and I'm shuffling through this row, you know, it's all recliners. This is, you know, VIP seat. Yeah. We saw Avatar. So we got the best seat they have. Cause you're going to sit there all
day. That's right.
And I literally almost lost my, almost was almost pantsed by gravity.
Yeah. That's a good feeling, man. That's that's how, you know, you're down a few, you know, when you can't even keep the pants on, you know. Actually, I started doing this too. I started just buying clothes too big for me.
Oh,
so now people think I'm down. They're like, hey, you working out? Nope. Just bought a size up. You know?
You're buying pants like you're in the second grade. Like your mom, he'll grow into these. And...
Yeah. Yeah, I'll grow into it. Yeah.
That's what happens, man. Weight loss is no joke. But people are, you know, I'm happy people, there's weight loss drugs and stuff. I'm glad people are doing that.
I don't shame people
for that. As I, you know, I lost 80 pounds diet and exercise, and that sucked. sucked. And, you know, and I ended up, you know, finding my wife when I was like real skinny for me and all that stuff. And then, you know, just immediately, you know, over 2 years in a pandemic, put it all back on. But,
oh my God, you're not kidding.
It was tough, man. It's so hard. to lose.
Yeah, I say do whatever you got to do. Mm-hmm. You know, if it makes you feel good, I'm all for it.
But people get mad. I think it makes them. I think they're mad at themselves when they see somebody losing weight, and it's like, oh, what did you do? You did a shot? Oh, okay.
You know? Right. I think people, I think it's a lot of jealousy.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of jealousy because, like, you know, you see someone you know, all of a sudden they pass you up, and like in their health journey, if you will,
you know,
they're like, hey, yeah, I'm working out too, and it's not working. And then I see this person on the shot doing it, and they pass me up.
Yeah.
It feels like stolen valor, I think, to some some people, you know?
Stolen valor.
Like, hey, I'm going to the gym.
Yeah.
What are you doing? But then it's like, you can do the shot if you want to, you know?
Yeah. But I also think people don't realize when the heavy person gets on the shot that they might have been told, hey, here's the deal.
Yeah, there's more to
you
it.
Like
there's
that
more
foot you got over there?
Yeah, yeah.
You know that tingling you're feeling? That's if the first sign of,
Yeah. The only thing I hate about the whole shot movement is the Jardiance commercial. I've had enough.
Jardiance.
I've had enough.
What are they doing in Jardiance? Do I know it? I guess I do.
Yeah, you know it. And I'm not going to sing it. But after we're done chatting, go to YouTube and look up the commercial.
The Jardiance commercial.
You've heard it.
If
you haven't just been walking through the grocery store, like once daily, Jardiance.
Can I play it here? Is that?
I don't see why not.
In trouble.
I don't see why not. You play a snippet of it. Who's coming for you? If they,
the Comedy Castle podcast.
You know what? If anything, that would be what that'll put us on the map. We'll sell out the whole weekend.
Oh, so is this a lady dancing? Would this be the one? All right, let's see.
I have type 2 diabetes, but I manage it well. It's a little pill with a big story to tell. I take once daily, Jardiance.
You know this.
Oh, okay, that's enough.
Yeah, you know that song though, right?
I've seen when it came
if
on, I went like, yeah. But I also don't know what Jardiance, you know, I guess Jardiance is, okay. I didn't even know what Jardiance was. It's people dancing.
Yeah, I know all the, exactly. By the way, I know so many people doing the shot right now. Some people who are, who need it. Some people are just trying to lose some weight.
Right.
And none of them are that happy. None of them are singing and dancing.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, yeah. Good luck to everyone.
That song is just, it's an earworm. It gets stuck in my head. It's the worst.
Listen, if I was on Jardiance, maybe I'd be dancing. I don't know. But pants are falling off.
I see all these commercials. Yeah. See all these commercials. They're all the commercials. They really want me on the shot, man. I'm just seeing that. I'm just seeing
them.
I see them all. Sky Rizzy. I got them all.
Sky Rizzy. Okay.
It's another. I know all the shots.
All right. I'm not. Yeah. But listen, if you're on the shot, we love you. You're my friend.
Oh,
if you're on the shot.
Yeah.
I've
no
been
judgment.
Through that.
No judgment.
If you do diet and exercise, I get that too. And I did it. And it was really hard. And I'm glad I did it when I did it. But my goodness. Could have used some help.
Yeah, you know what else about this? Now you got me thinking. I'm sure such a great. How many times have you talked about this with your guests, Joel?
Yeah.
While I'm thinking about it, like, you know, you put all that work in, you know, and then as soon as you finally get down to the weight you're happy with, and then all these shots come out, the timing.
Too. Yeah.
That's comedy right there.
Yeah, it is. It's
you're like, I couldn't, you know, where was this a year ago?
Yeah. Well, I've seen some of my comedy bros who really needed to lose the weight and doing it now with the shot. So good for them.
Yes.
It's amazing.
That is great.
It's amazing. That's fine. You got to rewrite your act. I do know that from losing weight.
Yeah. I can't lose weight, Joel. I have no jokes on New Year's Eve.
I had jokes that I wrote about losing weight, you know, being skinny or, hey, you know, like the setup was basically like, you might notice I've lost some weight and here's the thing. And then I just had to stop doing those. I had to stop doing fat jokes when I was skinny. Then I wrote jokes about being skinny that I had to stop. So it's a lot like your outfits. It's sort of like, put these under the bed until I'm skinny again and pull out that.
I've seen I've seen some comedians who've gone through that, who like either put on weight, lose weight, whatever, and then they have to alter their material, but they keep doing the same jokes. So they'll be like, I used to be fat. They'll set it up, and then they just go into all the jokes. So they don't really rewrite anything. They just kind of like sneak it in there. I've also seen, this one's even funnier to me, is when you know someone who, you know, they get divorced, but their entire act is about being married.
Being married,
And then watching them either have to start over or just lie for a few years until they can write a whole new set, you know?
Yeah, that's a thing. I have single jokes that I'll do until I reach the point when I want to go into marriage material. Then I tell people, and so I got married, and then that sort of a surprise. So I've tried to make that work. I don't know if it's completely successful yet, but.
Yeah, it's different for everybody. People figure it out. It is funny, though. It is funny watching when you know something about someone's life, and I'm like, I'm like, wait, didn't you just get divorced? They're like, yo, did a whole hour about being married.
What's the comedy persona? You can be anybody you want to be up there. You can be married.
That's right.
And what you do find out, though, is that the audience can relate to all of this.
That's
the audience has been skinny. They've been fat. They've been married. They've been divorced. They got kids. They're single. If they have kids now, they were single once. It's all relatable. You make it work. Just be
That's
fun.
Right.
That's the thing. Well, listen, dude, we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to see you New Year's Eve.
I'm so incredibly excited. And for the audience listening, I will be much funnier at the shows. I promise.
Yes. If you remember, just bust out into the Jardian song. If it's going poorly and it's just.
I'll have it queued up.
Yeah, we can have that. Listen, I'm the tech guy. I'll have anything you want ready. I'll pull up.
All right, we'll do
songs,
some music cues.
We'll do music. We'll do whatever you want.
I'm sure you look forward to nothing more than the New Year's Eve comic being like, I got music cues.
Well, you know, here's the sad thing about New Year's Eve is I am literally alone at the strike of midnight.
Oh, really?
I think so. I think my wife came to a New Year's Eve show because I'm the guy that has to play Auld Lang Syne from the Green Room at the Comedy
Castle.
Well,
bring her back.
Yeah,
she's
come
welcome.
Out. She don't want to come out. She came once.
Oh, that's fair.
And that she sits home with the dogs on New Year's Eve. But but yeah, so like I'm usually, you know, because I'm with the comics until the comics go out to ring in the new year. And then I play Auld Lang Syne and watch everybody hug each other, and I'm alone.
Aww.
I'm alone riding,
well, you know what?
Riding the fader in the back, yeah.
Well, if your wife wants to come out, tell her I'll get her a ticket. I know a guy.
You know a guy. You'll get her in. We'll slip her in the back door.
All right. Yes.
All right, Nate. Hey, listen, dude. It's always great talking to you. You're one of the best. Love you.
Thanks, Joel.
Great dude. Love funny you, comic. Come see Nate this weekend. You guys will love it. Nate, thanks, bud.
Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Bye-bye. All right, Nate, thanks. Fun talk. I mean, come on. Two guys bitching about their weddings. Yeah, there you go. I don't even know if we bitched. I think my wife might be more disappointed in the wedding at the end of it. I think we both had a pretty nice time. So, yeah, hey, thanks. Thanks to Nate for talking to me. Come catch him this weekend. He's one of the best. And again, I said it earlier, but Justin Pettick and Reed Ledbetter opening. Real, real strong opening acts, too. So it's going to be a fun weekend. And New Year's Eve, I mean, we get to ring it in for New Year's Eve at the Comedy Castle. It's going to be a fun time. I am alone. Yes, you heard that in the interview. I sit alone. I stand alone. Sometimes if my wife's not there, she'll be on the webcam with me. That's how I celebrate. But yeah, come on out. Get those tickets, comedycastle.com. And thanks for listening. Remember, comedy classes, advanced comedy class, January 10th, of course, beginner classes with Bill Bouchard and Tam White's improv class, 248-542-9900. That is the number to sign up for those. But hey, Happy New Year. If you're listening to this after the new year, I hope you're having a great, hope you had a great 25 and even a better 2026. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to Mark Ridley for being the executive producer and making this thing run. And we are celebrating our 47th year of live comedy at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. That is an unbelievable number, and I'm so proud to be a part of it and so glad to do this show. Hey, thanks to all of you for listening. We'll catch you next time. Happy New Year from all of us here at the Comedy Castle podcast. We'll see you out there. Join us for New Year's Eve. Bye-bye.